again, everybody, and welcome. This is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, along with Roger Bauer, the Social Media Ninja. We're on lucky Friday the 13th, November 13th, 2009, little baby Ella's second birthday. How you like them apples, man?
Yeah, tell her happy birthday. Sure, she doesn't remember me, but that's okay.
My baby turned two. I'm going to have to go have some more babies now. She's dang near 100% potty trained. Goodness gracious. I don't know what I'm going to do with all my time and money. I'm buying diapers.
She'll keep your hands full.
Yeah. She's the baby of six, brother. She's got an attitude.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Goodness gracious. But, well, it's Friday, so I'm going to have to tell you two jokes, especially because we forgot to close with one yesterday. Just ain't right. People need their humor on Fridays as well, don't you think?
Indeed.
So you got a big long list for us today?
Well, I'm going to go on a rant today. I don't really have a long list.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to rein you in a little bit. Don't want you killing too many people. You know what I'm saying? But because I'm going to be the barrier to your rant if you get excessive, all right? Because barrier is the word of the day. It's both a verb and a noun. It's to conceal or cover a female, usually under earth or debris. She died while on vacation, so I think they decided to bury her on the beach. We just crack ourselves up, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Somebody has to.
All right. Well, it's Friday. I'm going to start drinking. You start ranting. And I'm going to jump in when I think you've done enough.
Well, speaking of that, I'll be nice and complimentary to start before I start the rant. You mentioned how we crack ourselves up. There is actually a girl in Cincinnati that I follow on Facebook. I haven't met her in person. Not only is she drop-dead gorgeous, but she has got more personality and it cracks me up every single day to the point where it makes her better looking, of course, because she's got a really good personality. But I have to follow she's always got something every day that just absolutely puts me in stitches.
That makes you a stalker, you know?
No, it's just she's so damn funny. And, I mean, every one of her posts on there gets about 25 to 30 comments because she's just one of those. I mean, she's a character. But I know most of the comments come from guys because they think she's very attractive. But on top of that, I mean, she's just so funny. And this is her. I mean, this is her personality coming through. She's not really trying to get over on anybody with social media. But that's – and then there's another girl I mentioned the other day that – if I were a company and I was going to look for somebody that knew how to take social media and do it in an organic way to position their company properly, she'd be one for that too because her pictures she's always uploading pictures. People are always commenting on it. She's another girl I grew up with, real nice looking, cute kids, nice family, all that stuff. But she's always getting comments on that type of stuff. So these two girls have this stuff figured out. They're not even trying to do anything. From a business standpoint.
You're going to have to send me a little email with who these people are.
I can do that. But they're not trying to get anything out of it other than they're just trying to connect with people. And businesses can learn a lot from that. I'm not suggesting that you go out and become the next Jerry Seinfeld on Facebook. But at the same time, this girl is so funny that, I mean, you can't help but check her profile out on a regular basis because you're going to find something there that'll put you almost in tears from laughing so hard because some of the time she's just so over the top with her descriptions of what happened that they're so funny that you feel like you missed out on something if you don't go do it. And that's something I think businesses can learn from is if they have somebody who's kind of one of those wild apples that isn't offensive or anything like that, sometimes her post could probably offend some people, but she's so naturally funny that I think people would overlook that. And some of the Bob Parsons from GoDaddy has a blog that he's kind of controversial, but it's his personality. And I think that's something companies need to learn, is if you are going to have somebody help you with social media, let them show their personality. Let your company have personalities, because companies have people within them that have these colorful, off-the-wall personalities, and that's what makes the company a thriving entity. I mean, I remember I worked for a software, healthcare software company about 10 years ago, and we had a really good group of people, and everybody had their own dynamic personality, but that made the whole group very dynamic. And then as soon as one person left that group, the rest of the group started to fall off because just the personality, the dynamic wasn't the same. And I think that's the same thing with social media. If you let your people show their natural personalities, people will be attracted to that. And you know, if you try to rein them in and say, you know, you're showing too much personality, it's kind of like, I can relate this to sports. UofL's got a new point guard, Peyton Siva, who's, you know, really quick and passed the ball, really good point guard. But Patino keeps saying, you know, I can't rein him in too much because then that's going to take out the things that he's good at. And that's the same thing with social media. If you rein somebody in too much, the things that they are naturally good at and the things that make them happy in a just totally organic way, you're going to end up turning them the opposite as opposed to getting what you want out of the whole endeavor. So that is actually a positive thing for social media that we can share.
Well, I was reading about Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
That dude, he's got millions of followers on Facebook, you know, and they're saying why. And he's just keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they can really say.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with this girl in Cincinnati. I've never met her in person, but I feel like I know her. And I feel like if I did meet her in person, which I'm sure that's going to happen someday, because Cincinnati's only 100 miles away, and I go to sporting events up there, and she goes to sporting events up there. We're eventually going to bump into one another. It's just one of those things. But
you're a stalker. But no.
Yeah, I'm a stalker, sure. But no, I just, it's one of those things.
Run away, Cincinnati funny girl. Run away.
Yeah. But
stop,
I feel like we would have a lot to talk about, even though we've never met. It'd be like two old friends meeting up with one another, and I think that's, you see that happen a lot with social media. It's happened here locally with some guys that I've never met in person before, but then when we finally do meet in person, it's like we just pick up where the social media conversation took off, and it's like two old friends getting together because they allowed their personality to show through, I allowed mine to show through. You get to see who the person really is, and it's a good thing. Now, what I'm going to talk about today on the rant is the opposite, is when somebody purposely goes out and, let me use some big words here, perpetrates a fraud for the benefit of growing or regaining their personality or regaining people's trust when they've messed up before, they've screwed people over, but they're trying to rebuild their reputation, so they purposely go out there, perpetrate a fraud in order to get into your wallet and take advantage of you further. Now, if you listened in yesterday or you read my blog post, you know that Perry Belcher got out of this whole internet marketing thing. And at first glance, I was a little bit saddened because I came to like Perry, or at least I thought I came to like Perry. I thought the person that he portrayed through his social media profile seemed like a genuine guy who maybe had screwed up in the past. I didn't really know what all he had done in the past and didn't really care. But after doing some more research last night, I found that the guy for 10 years was trying to sell fake drugs to people with real illnesses. I mean, you're talking about people who have cancer, people who have Alzheimer's, I mean, on down the line, some serious diseases, and this guy is going out and had this whole internet marketing scam set up where he had these 60 different websites out there, was doing a ton of pay-per-click ads, using social media to attract some of these people. I assume that's what he was doing. I know he was doing the pay-per-click stuff because that's his claim to fame, is he's an AdWords ninja or guru or whatever. So he's getting all this business coming through on a regular basis, the whole time he's defrauding these people out of hundreds, if not millions of dollars, to buy these fake supplements or drugs or cures, and the whole while they were bogus. So, I mean, I can imagine that my brother just died of cancer. My mom died last year of cancer. I can imagine if we went and bought my brother, trying to save money and treat his cancer before he died, if I'd found out that he went out and bought some supplements from some bogus company, I would be irate. I'd want to sue their ass nine ways to Sunday. And I'd be pissed at the person that was behind the whole fraud, because here my brother is dying, and here's this jackass that is trying to take advantage of him to make a buck. To me, that's not a good person. I'm sorry. You know, Perry, if you listen, if you ever hear this, I'm sorry that you feel that you have to stoop to these levels to take advantage of people, to put more money in your pocket and support your family when there's people out there that are dying, and you take advantage of that. And then the feds catch you, they bust you, you have to turn over your assets and all, I have to sell your house and all that, which, whatever, the money was not yours anyway to begin with. But then you come back and you do it again in a different industry. You come back and you set up this whole social media stuff to where you go out and build 110,000 Twitter followers and Facebook stuff all over the place, to where you build a fan page, and you got these trillion blogs out there to portray you as, oh, gee, shucks, I was busted by the feds, poor pitiful me, oh, shucks, you know, I'm just really a good guy that I never meant to hurt anybody, and I'm really sorry if I hurt anybody, but really I'm a good guy at all this, I deserve a second chance, and I'm doubly pissed because I was falling for it. That tells you that this mind control marketing stuff does work, which that's the one takeaway, positive takeaway you can take out of this. That stuff does work. But when you take it and you use it for negative purposes, same thing with social media. When you take social media and try to utilize it for your own benefit in negative ways, like Perry has done, I'm sorry, you're a piece of crap, and I hope the feds do catch up with you. And, you know, screw you, dude. I mean, you went out there and you took advantage of sick people, probably a lot of dying people, so you can make a buck. And I'm glad that the social media world caught on to this stuff and called the dude out, and I'm glad that there's people that are following every move he makes to make sure he doesn't get back into this whole internet marketing space and do the same thing to more poor innocent people, because there's even people that are on his blog commenting, oh, Perry, you're one of the good guys, your heart's really in the right place. Really? I mean, I look at it again, I go back to my brother or my mom, and I think, what if this guy had gone out and gotten a hold of, you know, my brother or his wife or caregivers to my mom and sold them some drugs that were supposed to help with cancer, and turns out they didn't do anything, so they spent all this money with this guy to treat cancer and thinking, oh, he's going to get better because we found this wonder drug, and they had all these bogus doctor testimonials and signatures and endorsements and all this other stuff for these supplements. I'm sorry, dude, that there's something mentally wrong with people who do that type of stuff. And you should be called out.
You know, character does matter, right? So that's where this comes into play. It does matter. And, you know, he got carried away. So, you know, the important thing to take away from this is to research the people you're dealing with, which is what social media lets happen, right? It lets people get to know others. It lets your clients get to know you. And when you're good or bad, the word gets out quicker than ever. You know, we're living in this recommendation age. So, you know, I think that's the biggest thing really to take away from this. So I know you've been going off a little bit there, brother, but, man, it's a Friday. Let's have a little Kentucky bourbon, shall we? Are you a whiskey man?
No, I'm not a whiskey man, no.
No bourbon?
That doesn't agree with me. No, I mean, I'll drink it. It's just it doesn't really agree with me that well. And if you
want a mint julep type, you probably got some big fancy hats you wear down to the Derby, don't you?
No. But if you just think I went on a rant there, get a couple of those in me, and then you'll really get the rant turned up 100 degrees.
Goodness gracious.
But I mean, it's just you see stuff like this, and you get warned by it, and people say you got to be careful and all that, and, you know, we all try to do our due diligence on people, But that goes ties back into this whole mind control marketing with the NLP stuff and all of that. And you hear a lot of the people who teach it that, you know, don't use this for negative purposes. Well, here's a guy who, I mean, I'm a little bit mad at myself, too, because I got sucked in. I mean, I thought, oh, you know, okay, Perry screwed up in the past. He admitted to it, so that's good. He's coming clean. He does deserve a second chance. But what that did by coming out and admitting, oh, yeah, I screwed up, some of the testimonials that I gave, they claimed they didn't like those, so that's the reason the feds came down on me. Poor, pitiful me. But what he didn't tell is the whole story. He told just enough to where you thought to yourself, okay, I respect the guy for coming clean. It's kind of like Andy Pettit. I gained a ton of respect for Andy Pettit coming out and saying, yeah, I used performance-enhancing drugs. I used them from this period to this period. I had an injury. I thought it would help me overcome it. Did I mess up? Yeah. Would I do it again, and knowing what I know now? No. But, hey, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Did I think it gave me a big advantage by using it that long? No. But he came clean. And you contrast that with somebody like Roger Clemens, who's still denying it to this day. When you see his head go from a 7 and an 8 to a size 8, you see Barry Bonds go from a 7 and a 4th size head to a size 9, something isn't right there. But these guys go out and deny it, and it's the same thing with Perry. I mean, he told just enough to where you believed, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, the guy deserves a second chance, and he's really good at this, going out there and seeming like a genuine, caring, hearts-in-the-right-place human being. So, yeah, I mean, I got duped, and so did a lot of other people. Thank God I didn't buy his overpriced product because, you know, like you said yesterday, Wes, something like 80% returns. I mean, even if you get 20% returns, that tells you the product isn't a very good one. But
right. That
whole thing, even if you did do some digging into that type of person, I mean, he comes clean with the video, and it's like, hey, I made this mistake. This is the big elephant in the room. I want to come clean with you people. You know, I've come to like you all. You're my friends. I care about you, blah, blah, blah. When the whole while, it's like, I'll tell you enough up to a point to where I can win enough people over, but I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. Now that I've gone back, now that everything's come out and the dust is beginning, everything's stirred up and the dust is starting to settle, going and doing this research yesterday and seeing the injunction against him that the feds handed down and his plea agreement and all of that, and then digging some more into why he's getting out of this and everything else. I mean, that to me is the dark side of social media and the dark side of this mind control language patterns and NLP and all of that. So, yeah, you have to do your research and you have to have your tentacles up high for people like this. But people like this that are really good at this con game, they can fool people who are doing their due diligence because, just like I said, you'll take it up to a point. The average person doesn't have the time to go look to see, okay, did this guy, what does this guy's plea agreement really say? I mean, the average person isn't going to go do that. And you've got people that even today on his blog are saying, oh, Perry, I hope you return, and this is just terrible news, and you really are one of the good guys. Do the research. I mean, if you put yourself in the shoes, put yourself in my shoes for a minute and just imagine that a loved one is dying of cancer and this Perry Belcher clown gets a hold of him and sells him some bogus drugs, how would you feel then? Do you think his heart's in the right place then? Would you think he's really a caring individual that deserves a second chance? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have a whole lot of use for that, and I don't usually get torqued up that much about this type of stuff because it doesn't do a whole lot of good. But at the same time, I mean, my brother just died a couple months ago, so it's fresh in my mind. And I can just imagine if that contributed anything to it, you know, if somebody like that contributed anything to it, yeah, I would want to sue his ass 9 ways to Sunday. So, I mean, Perry ought to be glad that my brother didn't get sucked into his web when he was doing this for his 10 years. And that's the other part. I mean, he did it for 10 years and got away with it for 10 years before the feds finally caught up to him. He did this social media thing for a couple years and he built all this hype up into this product and had all these different gurus mailing for him, which I hope a lot of those gurus who did mail for him feel like total pieces of crap too, because they promoted a total junk product that turns out that didn't deliver on what the promise was And, you know, whatever. I hope that everybody has a little bit of egg on their face for getting behind this guy, jumping into bed with him, and so forth. But back that up a little bit further and try to take the positive or try to learn something from the whole Perry situation. If he had offered his product for $197 or $97, I would almost guarantee that nobody would be that upset about it. He might have 1 or 2% of the people upset about it. But when you go charging, when you go gouging people for $997 minimum, up to $3,000, that ain't cool either. So there's a couple lessons to be learned on that front. And that ties into the other part of the rant, is doing some digging on StomperNet, which I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with them. It turns out that they're a big facade, that they're this big, gigantic, wonderful internet marketing corporation that's looking out for their customers and everything else, to the tune of $800 a month for, I'm sorry, you can get this stuff for $47 one time, or $97 one time, or $47 a month, whatever, and people are willingly paying $800 a month for stuff that I don't get it. That's the human element that that ties back into the mind control marketing and how it can be used for negative purposes. But turns out that Stomper is not this thriving company. They're on the verge of going under. They're having financial problems. They're not paying their affiliates.
Really?
Some of they're way behind on affiliate payments. They have a lot of people on staff that have either had to take pay cuts or have just left the company because they're not getting paid what they were promised. You've got Brad Fallon, who is he's now the CEO, but was one of the partners with Andy Jenkins, went out and spent $100,000 out of the payroll account. So, and Andy didn't know anything about it because Brad wasn't involved in the day-to-day operations of the company. So he's out spending this money kind of like it's a slush fund. And here you got real people being impacted because this guy decides to go out and spend $100,000. And this is all documented in a lawsuit between Andy Jenkins, StomperNet, and Brad Fallon. So I'm not making any of this stuff up. You can go read the lawsuit or the motion filed with a Georgia court and read all this stuff. If you read all the way through, I think it's about 20, 24 pages, something like that. You get down towards the bottom, and there's some verbiage in there that this little spending spree that Brad went on put the company in serious jeopardy of meeting its financial obligations. In other words, $100,000 was enough to jeopardize the company's future. Now, when you're off portraying yourself as this big, gigantic, wonderful, thriving organization, and then you go read stuff like that, well, here we go again, social media to the rescue, because now this stuff comes out, it becomes public very quickly. We all learn that a lot of this StomperNet stuff that they've been peddling for $800 a month is more or less a fraud, because I can't imagine if that many people are involved for $800 a month, what are you doing with the money on the back end? I mean, that's a lot of money to pay people, and if you're telling people that you've got 2,500 thriving members at $800 a month, let's get the calculator going on this. Okay, so that's $2 million a year. All right, that's $2 million a month, I'm sorry. So you're talking $24 million in a year, and you're on the verge of going under? Sorry, that just doesn't add up. I mean, either you're just so poorly managing the company, or you're cooking the books, or you're flat-out lying to people about what it is that your company is doing and how wonderful you are and everything else. I'm glad that this stuff does come out in social media, but it makes me, and I'm sure some other people feel the same way, feel like I've been taken advantage of by, I haven't bought any of the StomperNet stuff, so they haven't taken advantage of me from a financial standpoint. I've gotten some of their free stuff, which it's okay. I think they're a little stomping the search engines. Not to be a honk, my search engine ninja program is much better. Gets you straight to the point where you can start being successful with SEO as opposed to going through all this theory and don't I sound like an intelligent academician? Is that what you call it, Wes?
Ain't I smart? Yeah, one of them blazer-wearing thingy dudes with the patch on it.
Yeah. So they're trying to come across as that, and that's what they call their employees as faculty members. So they're trying to portray all of this university-type atmosphere. When you do a little digging, a little below the surface, you realize a lot of this stuff is smoke and mirrors. And, you know, I'm glad that this day has come, but at the same time, I know a lot of people got hurt in the process. A lot of people are out a lot of money for this stuff, and there's testimonials out there that say that they learned a ton from StomperNet. Good for those people. I am glad that you did get some benefit out of it, but at what cost? I mean, if you're paying $800 a month for something that you could go get for one-tenth of that, and, you know, I'm glad you got the results that you got, but at the same time, they've been raking you over the coals and selling you a lot of bill of goods along the way because they're mismanaging $24 million a year. Something just doesn't add up to all these claims and everything else. So there are my two rants for the day, but it tells you that social media can, if you do enough digging and enough due diligence, you can find out which people are legitimate, which ones are frauds, and just because somebody comes out with a come clean video and says they're going to let you know everything that happened and the real story, still do your due diligence, because there are people like Perry Belcher out there that will tell you just enough up to a point that you don't do any further digging because you don't really have the time, or maybe you're just going to trust the guy and take him at his word. You don't want to do that, because these people can still play tricks with your mind and have you believe that they were done wrong when really they are doing you wrong the whole time.
Well, and if you do that to somebody else, you're going to get found out, too.
Mm-hmm.
You heard me?
That was my post late last night after I started on this, and there's a little rant in that post on the blog, but it was social media cutting.
You're in a rant mood.
Well, it kind of pissed me off. I'm not going to lie about it, because it's all this time I've been, you know, thinking these gurus are all good and fine and dandy, and there are some out there that are really good. I mean, you've got guys like...
Hey, we're the good gurus.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, we don't have that.
Hey, you had to think about that. What's up with that, dude?
Well, we're not guru status yet. The whole world doesn't consider us to be, you know, the good gurus. But
yeah, but we know we're gurus.
I mean, I know Frank Kern's got in trouble with the FTC before, but Frank's stuff is really good. I mean, I've gotten a lot of his stuff, and I think he's teaching some people some really good stuff. And I think Frank has learned his lesson, whereas Perry has not. Perry is still trying to use a lot of this stuff for the negative, for his own personal gain, which, you know, he's got to answer to that at some point. So that's on him. He's got to carry that around. I don't have to carry it around, thank God. And I didn't get involved in any of his schemes or pay for any of his stuff. So that's good. But
yeah,
there are good people out there, some good gurus.
Ain't no fooling the ninja.
That's right. I mean, you've got guys like Rich Sheffern, who's the real deal, and on down the line, but there's just some out there that, even though they're in this little guru circle, don't believe the hype. I mean, do your due diligence, especially before you part with your money to the tune of $1,000, $2,000. Some of them have charged $15,000. I mean, don't part with that kind of money until you know for sure that the person you're aligning with is going to come through for you. Or $800 a month. I mean, what's that, $9,600 a year? So $10,000 in a year for some overpriced stuff that you can get somewhere else if you just do a little more digging?
Yeah, only pay us that kind of money without doing any research, okay? And there's two F's in Schaefer.
And
right?
It's AE, right?
That's right. So press real hard, third copy's yours. I got kids to feed, brother. I got birthdays everywhere. Goodness gracious. Every time I look up, there's a birthday.
All right, so here's some more stuff, and I'll get out of the rant mode now. We'll do some more.
Well, thank goodness.
Well, I hope people get some benefit out of that, because I'm trying to help.
I can't tell you
people
how fast I've been drinking listening to you today. I'm about to pass out. This is going to be a short call. You're going to go solo by the end.
But I hope people learn some lessons from it, and I've learned some lessons from it, and I just want to share those with people, because you can get burned. But on the altitudebranding.com blog, there is an entry from November the 11th, which is hiring for social media the ugly side. Since we're focused on some of the ugly today, let's do on this. They've got how many missteps do they have here?
That boy's so damn ugly. His daddy had to hang a pork chop around his neck to get the dogs to play with him. Son, that's ugly. That's ugly.
But it's got five missteps that you want to avoid. Number one is heavy focus on tools. Number two is assuming that anyone can do this job and for cheap. We want to come back to that one for sure. Misstep number three is neglecting engagement. Misstep number four is thinking content is inherently valuable. We'll come back to that too. Misstep number five is making social synonymous with traffic or lead generation. Well, there we go. There's a lot to chew on with that.
Mm-hmm.
That might even need to be the Monday topic all on its own. But let's talk about this, assuming that anyone can do this job and for cheap. I think that ties back into our whole that we keep warning people about, Wes, is this, it's free, so you can get people to do this for cheap. Anybody can do it. Well, we've mentioned a couple times, and we gave the example at the beginning before I went on the rant about the two girls that they're not trying to gain anything out of this monetarily. This is all for personal stuff for them, you know, with a good sense of humor and the always posting the pictures that interest people and get people to comment, get people involved. And that is what you want to do, is you want to get people involved with your business, your brand, or the people that are within your business. But just assuming that anybody can do this job, we've talked about this quite a bit, Wes, is if you're not a social person by nature, but you're technically inclined, which that is a lot of tech-type people, sorry. I mean, there are a lot of them are super whiz-bangs when it comes to technology, turning bolts and screws and figuring out the hypotenuse of whatever. They're really good with that type of stuff. But putting them into a social role is not going to benefit your business, and it's not going to make them happy because they're not social people by nature. So don't just
happy.
Or the flip side of that is just because somebody is social in a social setting with people that they know, don't assume that they are going to be great mixers or influencers through social media.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, somebody might be really good around a core group of friends that they know inside and out, but they're not too social if you put them in a room with strangers. And that's the same thing with social media. Some people, it takes them a while to get to know people, which they can get that way online, but some people are intimidated by this. They would much prefer the face-to-face interaction. And you got the techies who would much rather put them in the cold room with the white floor and the air conditioner blasting at 60 degrees with no windows, put them over in the corner and let them crank out code or let them, monitor the traffic that's going through the router or the switch or spam complaints or viruses, things like that. Let them do that. They don't want to be sitting back on the computer socializing with people, because that's the reason they want to be in the back room. They want to get away from people. So you want to look at that.
Well, most people hate selling. Most people hate marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Most people aren't sociable. Most people, you see them, you go to some event, you go to a chamber of commerce function and see how many people go and they grab a drink and go stand in the corner, or they hang out with the person they came with. It's like, if you're going to hang out with the person that you came with, why don't you pick you up six pack over at the Sack of Suds and some cheese nips and go hang out and watch ESPN Classic if all you're going to do is shoot the breeze with the person you already know.
Right.
So not only are people not sociable, they hate sales and marketing. Most people hate writing. Most people hate planning ahead, strategic type thinking. I was one of those to a degree, and depending on what the subject is, I'm bored with the strategic thinking. But this stuff I like, the marketing and the persuasion. We've studied it for a long time. So you're right. Can't just anybody do this.
Right.
But you better look at the person's credentials, as to who you're looking to retain to help make things happen for you.
Right. Yeah, because the flip side of that is, I did tech support for 7 or 8 years. I did technology sales for 3 or 4 years. When I was doing the tech support, I was bored. yeah, I can figure out the IP address. I can break it down to you know, your what am I thinking of here? Your MAC address on your computer. I can do all of that stuff. I can, you know, figure out how to.
You notice you have a MAC address on a PC, but you don't have a PC address on a MAC. You know that? You know that, no?
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
But, you know, and then fill out router tables and things and figure out how to do all that stuff. I mean, I can do it. It's the same thing that we were talking before we got the social media call going, Wes, is, yeah, I can go out and design a nice web page. Yeah, I can go out and do some Java Perl, as we joke about. I can do all that scripting stuff, but it's not. I can go into Infusionsoft and map out these follow-up campaigns and create trackable links and do all this fancy-schmancy technical stuff, but it's not the best use of my time, and it's not the stuff that really pumps my gas or is going to motivate me to stay up super late or wake up super early or something that I'm really going to be excited to talk about when I go meet with other people. But you get me in a room with some people who want to talk, you know, lead magnets and follow-up campaigns and strategic marketing and using social media and search engine optimization, now you're in my wheelhouse. Now I am going to get my gas pumped. And I mean, that's why friends come to me and say, hey man, let me go buy you a beer. I want to get a couple napkins out of you. And all that is they know after a couple beers, we start talking about business. I'm going to have 6 or 7 ideas that I can share with them on the fly, off the cuff, that'll help them grow their business. So that's, they end up going on a napkin. Well, that's, you know, one girl and I went out one night and she got 10 napkins out of the deal. So she got, you know, a whole lot of information for just a few drinks. And that's because that's the type of stuff that pumps my gas. You need to find people within your organization if you're going to do this in-house or if you're going to hire somebody that really do get turned on by this stuff. I mean, this, like you, Wes, I mean, this stuff is fun to me. And
right.
I can't think of going back to that technology, put me in the back room in the cold room where you got to wear a sweatshirt every day because it's 60 degrees in the thing and the air is coming up through the floor and, you know, your toes get cold, your nose starts to run and all of that. No windows and, you know, you got a white floor and it's, you know, yeah, it's fancy with all the tech whiz bangs and all the screens and everything else. It looks really cool on the outside, but I don't want to go back to that world ever because it's just, it stifles me. It bores me. I feel just like I'm confined, claustrophobic in that environment. And you don't want to put somebody in a social media role that is, you know, one of those type of people that, like you say, Wes, goes to a social event and they just go grab a drink and stand over in the corner and just talk to the people they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a good mix. It's not going to present your company in a good light. And that's something else I can pick on some of the gurus. It's some of the same things that you see with them online. They only have so many connections, and it's the same connections that they have in a personal setting. I mean, they're only connected with their tightest-knit group. Well, how are you going to learn? How are you going to really build relationships through social media if you're just going to stick to, well, I only know these people, and I only want the people that I know connecting with me? That just defeats the purpose. Hell, call them up and say, let's go have a beer. Let's go out to dinner. Let's go to lunch. Do that. Don't bother with getting on social media because you obviously don't get what the game's all about.
That's true, brother.
I'm filled with piss and vinegar today, you know what I'm saying?
Goodness gracious. I think you're kind of mad, too. Say, back home, you got a case of the red ass, brother.
Yeah, I got the red ass going today. Yeah, that was the thing at the bar the other night. One of the girls that was working there, and I looked at her, she just had this nasty look on her face, and I looked at her, and I said, well, you got the red ass tonight. What's up? What's going on with you? And she kind of shot me a look, and I'm like, wow. Yeah, definite red ass, so. Really not in a bad mood. It's just there's a couple things that that have frosted my rear end a little bit here lately. All right, so let's talk about this one and we'll wrap it up. And that's mistake number 5. Or do you want to talk about the content is inherently valuable?
You know, they're both good, man.
Let's talk about making social synonymous with traffic or lead generation. And I'm trying to read some of this, just glance it over real quick to see what axe he's grinding with this particular entry. But I think we talk about this is just because you've got 10,000 Twitter followers or you've got 7,000 people on your fan page on Facebook, you're not really leveraging that for your business unless you are generating leads or getting them into some type of follow-up sequence that positions your company in a positive light. Now, whether that could be an education marketing piece, give them a free report, give them a free ebook, whatever. It could be invite them to an event that you're giving, special access, or maybe a coupon code, or whatever it may happen to be. But I think this is a good point to take home. Just because you've got all these followers, if you're not really doing anything to incentivize them to become a lead or a prospect for your business, then you're not going to get a whole lot of benefit out of this. Yeah, having 10,000 followers is great. Okay, you're popular. Good for you. But what are you going to do with it? You know, how are you going to leverage this? How are you going to build?
Well, you're popular, or you got an auto dealy bop on and just adds people.
Oh yeah, you could have that too. That's one thing that I don't understand. It's not going to go away just because I get on the soapbox or get on the stump, as we sometimes call it. But this auto reply when you follow somebody on Twitter, I mean, I just turned off the entire direct messaging to my inbox because all it is spam anymore. It's a way for people to spam you. And I understand with some of the folks who argue with this follow people back theory or theory of reciprocity. I understand where they're coming from with that, but I'm still of the mindset that you should return the favor when appropriate. But you can turn off this whole direct messaging straight to your inbox so that way you don't get inundated with the garbage and the nonsense mm-hmm. and the buy my product type of stuff. Because it's just like we keep saying, you show up at the party and you meet somebody new and your first reaction is, oh, hey, I got this really great product. Why don't you go buy it? Or, hey, you know, I'm a car salesman. We've got a really good deal. We're giving 0% financing for the next 3 years if you come in and buy a car before Friday. What do you think it's going to do to people?
Yep.
I mean, that's exactly what this auto response, when you follow somebody on Twitter and they send you that thing back, hey, I just sent you good karma. Why don't you send it back by going to this link?
Why don't you join my mafia war?
Yeah. I just made you a super pirate. Why don't you go and return the favor by, no, that's not the reason I'm connecting with you. That's, you know, don't push your agenda off on me immediately when we meet one another. I mean, at least if you're going to do that, at least give me something that either is going to appeal to me personally or something that helps me get to know you a little better. And going to read about your product or go read some ego piece that's going to tell me all about your business or your entire history, I don't want to hear all that. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I know how girls feel when guys come up and approach them and they start just going into this me stuff. And the guy at the end of the night thinks it went really well. And the girl's like, God, you talk about somebody full of themselves. And the guy can't figure out why the girl won't return his calls or why she won't give him his number. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, people don't want you up in their face talking about yourself or trying to further your own agenda when you first meet somebody. I mean, it's just you're going to be turned off. You're going to be pushed away. It's just
I have
like,
a mind, you know. I have feelings. I'm sensitive.
That's right.
Don't treat me like a hunk of meat just to sell.
Or my eyes are up here.
No one's ever told me that, dude.
Even though they're wearing the shirt that just barely covers their chest, and they're wearing the belly shirt and all that, it's, yeah.
My eyes are up here.
All right, so here we'll talk about this, and we'll talk about this one quickly. Thinking that content is inherently valuable. I think this is. I don't know if I talked about this on the. I think we talked about this on the podcast the other day. But what you've got now is everybody hears content is king, content is king. You need a blog, you need a blog, which you do need a blog, but you've got people cranking out a lot of crap. And a lot of this crap is because they know the search engines will value the content more times than not. It's also crap because it's just another tool to get you to try to buy their product. I mean, we're guilty of this to an extent. We create a video. We'll have our little link within the video. That's just good marketing. I'm sorry. That's, but I know a lot of people get turned off by that. That it's like, you know, hey, I went to watch your video, and you've got your link on there, so it kind of took a little bit away from it. Well, you know, I got to balance out something. If I'm gonna give you something for free, then of course I'm going to ask for something in return. But just cranking out content for content's sake isn't going to create value or a value proposition in your audience's mind. I mean, you do have to give them something that's of value to them, not something that's of value to you. And that's the thing that cracks me up. As I wanted to talk about this too, is I looked through my inbox the other day of emails that I hadn't opened, and most of them had one thing in common, is they said something that you either need to check this out. Well, says who? Why do I need to check this out? So I didn't open it. Or really important, colon, and then whatever it was. Really important to who? And you're assuming that because you think it's important that I think it's important, and that's a little bit egotistical to me. It's like, how do you know that this is really important? And what makes you think that it's important to me? So that's a couple things that I think that you see with a lot of this, thinking content is inherently valuable just because somebody says, hey, really important, you got to answer, you got to open this. No, I really don't. And it's a buddy of mine, now it's his ex-wife, but she said, she told him one day, you need to go to the grocery and pick up da-da-da-da-da. And he said, whoa, back up. What'd you just say? And she said, you need to go to the grocery. He goes, I don't need to do anything. Would you like me to go to the grocery? And she just shot him a look, and he said, no, I'm serious. I don't need to do anything, but if you would like me to.
If you want to eat, you do.
But that's the same thing with a lot of this content is, you know, people throw around verbs, adjectives, and things like that where you need to do this or this is really important. And it's the same. I got a voicemail the other day from somebody that says it's really important that you call me back. Why? Why is it important that I call you back? And God love my brother. He'll do this a lot too. He's like, you know, you need to call me back. And I don't call him right back because I always say, I'm like, dude, you didn't tell me why I needed to call you back. You just said I needed to. That doesn't tell me enough. It's the same thing with this content. Why is it, you know, tell the people why it's valuable to them. So that way you remove all doubt. I mean, if they're sitting there looking at this content going, okay, why does this matter? Tell me why it matters.
Yep.
If you're going to leave somebody a message that says you need to call me back or you're going to send them an email that says you need to open this, why? At least take the next step and inform me a little bit. And we've got another guy that we kind of partner with on some things, Wes, and he'll do this too. He's, you know, I need to talk to you today, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't tell you why. So it's like, well, no, I don't feel the sense of urgency because I really don't know why it's important.
Yep.
Same thing with a lot of this content.
Yep.
J. Abraham says, always tell people the reason why, and I think that's a very good tip.
That is a good tip. Very nice.
Rants are over. Feeling much better.
Goodness gracious. I'm sure glad about that.
But
bartender, another round over here, please. Thank you.
But I'm hoping that people got some benefit out of that. I mean, underneath all of the ranting, colorful language, and examples, there are lessons to be learned and things that hopefully can benefit our listeners in their strategies and goals and objectives and things moving forward, so that way they don't make a lot of the mistakes some of these other people have made or some of the mistakes that you see a lot of these experts saying that you don't want to or that you want to avoid.
Yep. Well, that's true. So, you know, you might be a redneck if you've ever committed a crime with a lawnmower. You know that?
Or a weed eater.
That's the truth, Rufus.
I hear
you
that.
You know, now it's Friday, so you might be a redneck if your idea of quality entertainment includes a 12-pack and a fly swatter.
Yep, that would be true.
Man, if you reckon watching wrestling is foreplay, You might be a redneck.
All right, well, let's close it out. Let's see, what do we want to promote today? Let's. I can promote, start promoting, because the ebook is done.
Nice.
I don't have the entire program ready to go, so you'll see some promotions within it. But if you go to listsamurai.com, you can get the free ebook. It is up to, got it right here in front of me. Let me open it up, see how many pages I ended up pontificating with. 118 total pages, and it's 121 if you count the title page and the disclaimers and the table of contents and all that. So 121 pages of it's content, brother. It ain't fluff. It ain't designed to. Yeah, of course I want you to enroll in the List Samurai program eventually, but it's not a hype ploy. It's not one of those. I'll tell you so many secrets, but you got to enroll in the program to get the rest of it. You get some stuff you can implement, and hopefully you get a lot of value out of that. Doesn't cost anything. First name, email address, gets it. ListSamurai.com. And then, Wes, how do they get your 20.1 Facebook secrets?
Go to thesaleswhisperer.com. Top right-hand side, first name and email.
You got your nice little redesign there. Got some nice colors going on. Nice.
No, not done yet, brother. Lost
I know
do.
You're not done yet, but it looks good.
This thing's going to be totally different another week. But
Mac it out.
The other thing, too, you know, check out the nav bar on the top and sign up for the Social Media Mondays. Just $47.
And what,
get us every week live Monday morning.
That's right.
You hear me?
And what was the we got a contest going too, right?
Yes, we do. Become a fan. Tales Whisperer, become a fan on Facebook and say I found this page through the Southern Social Media podcast. Man, I can't wait to get over this cold. You don't have to put that in there though. Find the Sales Whisperer on Facebook, the fan page. Become a fan. Say, I found you through Southern Social Media. Your name will be entered into the drawing, and one of you will be the lucky recipient of a one-month membership in the Social Media Mondays.
There you go. All right, so a happy Friday the 13th to everybody, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Yeehaw. Y'all have a great one. Talk to you soon.